My name's Mike Rowe. Yes, my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
One small scoop for mankind.
Hard-working men and women who earn an honest living. Doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
Now, get ready to get dirty.
That? Oh, dear.
Coming up on Dirty Jobs, winemaking in California's Napa Valley.
We're just doing this and then we're doing that.
Except you have to go a gazillion times faster.
The Latin saying, in vino veritas, means in wine, there is truth.
I know that you want the grape to go through largely unmolested.
That's why normally you and I aren't doing this job.
But you could also say, in vino femus.
How much is in there?
About 8 tons.
In wine, there is dirt.
You keep the doorway clear in case you do pass out, we have to pull you out.
And later, I'm at a cattle feedlot in Kansas.
We got no sleep.
Oh, this is dress code.
In the middle of wide open spaces.
State-of-the-art technology coming into play here.
Yeah.
Leave it to me to find a dark, dirty little hole.
There's wheat, there's soybeans,
and a couple of dead bugs or two.
And after you fed them comes the hard part. Sorting them.
No, 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 no. Okay, okay. Oh, God.
Have you ever been somewhere waiting for a glass of wine and said to yourself, what's a person have to do to get a drink in this place? Well, at Maryvale Vineyards Starmont Winery in California's Napa Valley, the answer to that question is easy. You make it. But actually, making wine is where easy ends and dirty begins. I began the day with Remy, the vineyard operations manager at Starmont. These grapes are a type called Syrah, which originated in France. And harvesting them is un grand bolier dans le derrière.
Grab a hold of the cluster gently and pull, and there you go.
On the root part?
That's more of a stem, I think, than a root. Actually call it a rachis if we want to be really specific.
I live for specificity.
This is very typical of Syrah, that it will have that dimpling pattern. That concentrates a lot of the fruit flavors. Well, see, it's not so easy.
No, actually, yeah.
There you go.
But the bottom line is we're just doing this and then we're doing that.
Except you have to go about a gazillion times faster.
Her bucket's so full she's having a hard time carrying them. Me, I'm having no problem at all because I'm going after clusters like this. So the pickers are always filling up their trays and running up to the tractor. Now, why are all these on the ground here?
So those are ones that didn't make the cut. They have raisins or bird damage or mold or that type of thing.
Right. You're having a hard time dumping that, aren't you?
A little bit. There we go.
I think she said
These bins actually each hold 1,000 pounds or a half tons of grapes. Half ton.
Half a tons. So we have three bins. So really, when the whole thing is full, you've got yourself a ton and a half. A
ton and a half of grapes. But this is classic Syrah, the long stem of grapes.
You really do have to be careful.
You can cut yourself.
Of course I can.
So we get paid by the pound, by the ton here, so we have to hurry up.
By the pound or by the ton?
Because
I know
ton.
There's a difference.
Picked grapes sell for about $150 a ton, and a dozen workers can pick 2 tons an hour. Since they're paid per ton of grapes picked, the faster they go, the more money they make.
That almost looks like, I don't know, like a part of a potpourri.
That's mold, and that's actually called the noble rot in some cases, and that's actually desirable in some sweet dessert wines. But here we actually won't put that into the harvest.
Here you don't want the noble rot?
No.
It basically goes like this all day. The guys come in from the right, the left, forward, backward. They dump their tray, and then they immediately start the sorting process. You're looking for leaves, especially the green leaves, which can wreak all kinds of havoc inside of the tank. Once the bins are full, the tractor drives them off to the tank. I'm still not exactly clear what goes on in the tank, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be dirty.
Starmont Winery has a new 65,000-square-foot facility where nothing is wasted. Whether it's harvesting sunshine to generate electricity or using the winery wastewater on the vineyards, everything gets used or recycled.
Thank you.
And so it goes.
And so it goes, but no leaves go.
How'd he get by? It must have been one of mine. Now, have you done, personally, most of the jobs that can be done?
Every year I like to do all the jobs, at least once, for one day, so I remember and understand what it's like to do each different job in the winery.
So you and I have something in common. I like to do virtually every job.
Once.
Once.
After being deleafed by one machine, the grapes go to another, which removes the stems.
How did the stems come off? I missed that part.
There's these rotating slots that actually knock the stems off down the chute, and just whole berries come through. This is a pretty gentle pump that's going to transport the grapes into the wine tank.
I'm on the verge of understanding something. These berries are going to get sucked through this thing.
Yep.
Up here, down here.
Yep.
And then they go all along here. 4-inch line. Grapes, grapes, grapes. Up through here.
And into the winery and into a tank.
All the way down there. I think we're getting full.
I'm helping the grapes through the mesh wire here in the bottom of the this sucking device.
Yeah, it looks like we've got a little bit of a backup here, but we just keep moving.
I know that you want the grape to go through largely unmolested, but to force it through the grid, it seems like a certain amount of force needs to be applied.
Yep, that's why normally you and I aren't doing this job.
Oh, I see. A little backed up. No big deal. You've been a little bit backed up before, haven't you?
Leaves and broken grape skins are recycled as compost that's then used to grow more grapes. The stems are pushed by an auger to another area.
All of the stems from the grape clusters are going to go into these bins, and then they're going to be sent off to make compost that we can use as nutrients in the vineyard. But first, we have to make sure that the bins don't overflow, and it looks like they're getting pretty close.
Of course they do. Of course.
So you might have to get in there.
Yeah, I might. Man, I've stained my dickies. My pants. So you can see this is where all the stuff goes that we're busy pulling out before. All the leaves, all the nasty, what'd you call those grapes? They got the noble rot?
Yep.
No good. That's what happens. When you're a grape that the bird gets, you wind up in a dumpster. And how do you know when it's smashed down enough?
You try to optimize it so you don't have to take too many trips to the compost place.
Well, let's optimize it then. That's it, Adam. Put a little in it.
You seem to really like the dumpster.
But I do love a good dumpster.
My favorite is digging out the tank.
She loves to dig out the tank. Take me to the tank.
Coming up, when you're cleaning a wine tank,
you never know what's waiting for you on the other side of the hole.
Or what you'll find when you come out again.
Oh, that's nice. My pals.
And later.
What is this?
We grind an awful lot of hay with that.
They call this machine a hay buster.
This thing is a mess.
An equally good name for it would be a dirt maker.
That's what I get for watching.
You can't make wine without a winemaker. At Starmont, that job belongs to Sean Foster.
Are you the winemaker?
I am the winemaker.
You're the one responsible for all of the dirt that I've got on me so far. How many of these do you have?
We have 46 tanks currently, 1,200 gallons to 12,000 gallons.
This is probably not good?
Not good.
That's inside these now?
Yeah, so we have red wine soaking on skin, or fermenting red wine soaking on skins.
Right.
What we need to do is separate the liquid from the solids, basically, at this point.
First, we attach a hose and take out the liquids from the tank. A small amount of grape skin solids come out, too, which are trapped by a screen in the sink.
So at this point, I mean, this is a very young wine.
Very young, yeah.
This is the first time we've seen it fermented, essentially. Can I taste it?
Yeah.
You almost never see a glass of red looking like this. I like this. It doesn't taste anything like I thought it would. It's almost fizzy.
Yeah.
this point, the wine is heading to a holding tank where it'll stay until it's time to barrel it. As for the grape skins, only a small percentage get caught in the screen. The rest end up here.
There appears to be a clog here at the entranceway. How much is in there?
About 8 tons.
8 tons? 8 tons of grape skins inside a giant steel tank. They're really starting to look like little raisins. Little alcoholic raisins.
Little alcoholic raisins.
Oh, crap. Look at those dumpsters. Remy is not going to be happy with that.
All right. There you go.
I'm safe.
Yeah. That's the inside of a wine tank, all right.
Inside a wine tank that's it's been pumped out many times. All the fluid is gone, and all that's left is all of this.
We should keep the doorway relatively clear in case you do pass out. And we have to pull you out.
Definitely a one-man job. This is an actual job, right?
That's an actual job.
What's the job title?
Cellar assistant.
Cellar assistant. That's cellar with a C. We've been some places, haven't we, Doug?
Yeah.
We've seen some things, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've been in vats of poo. We've been in buckets of grime. It's nice to finally be in a tank of wine with you. Where's a glass when you need it?
Can I tell you a little secret? We thought that shoveling the skins out of a wine vat would be a quick little 15 or 20 second thing. We kind of slip into the story just to show you that winemaking is a dirty job, but you've been watching me do this now for what? Over 2 minutes. And in real time, I've been in here for about a half hour. This goes to show. You never know what's waiting for you out of the hole.
Oh, yeah. Almost new. That's nice. My pals.
After emptying 8 tons of grape skins from the vat onto my shoes, it's now time to transfer the juice, or I guess it's officially wine at this point, into 60-gallon barrels, where it'll sit and age from 8 months to 2 years.
So we're pumping right now, what is it, a Chardonnay?
Chardonnay.
How's this work? This looks like the gas station, basically.
Yeah, so it's called a Sefilly wand, and goes in through the bunghole.
I beg your pardon?
Goes, that's called a bunghole.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because that's where the bung goes.
What's the bung?
The bung is the seal that seals the barrel.
You're a winemaker.
Yeah.
You wouldn't pull my leg.
No, I'm not kidding you.
I'm shoving the filling wand into the bunghole.
At this very moment.
Coming up.
What's happening here, Kathy?
I'm setting up an acid trial for Sean to taste.
The final step in winemaking is taste testing.
I'm not a connoisseur, but if I were in a restaurant, I might send it back.
Not everything passes. Ah, it's dreadful. And later.
How much will this hold when it's full?
10,000 bushels.
How much is a bushel exactly?
56 pounds on corn or 60 pounds on wheat.
To run a cattle feedlot, you need to have a head for numbers.
56 times 10,000 would be, well, it's a lot.
We need to make sure that we don't overfill the bunk, the barrel. And
you're basically shining a light into the bunghole.
That's pretty much what we're doing.
To make sure the fluid inside the barrel doesn't come flying out of the bung.
Right.
Oh!
There we go.
Oh, I put a head on it.
Yeah.
Nothing worse than a head on your bung. Hole.
Yep, that.
Oh, dear. Sorry.
First barrel, mostly full.
That's the idea, right?
Yep.
Okay.
So, go ahead and fill its mate here.
Violate another bunghole.
Yep.
That goes in like so.
And stop.
Oh, dear. Uh-oh. Look at that. Flew right out of the bunghole and hit the camera. That's awkward. What did I just cost you here?
Yeah, probably about $10.
That was a $10 glass of wine?
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is going to be good. $10 when it's aged. Right now, yeah. It couldn't be more than, you know, $8. Hello, bunghole.
Okay, whoa,
dope.
That's full.
I am so sorry. I'll get around for the house.
Young wine. Has a lot of CO2.
A lot of carbonation.
Yeah, yeah, so it tends to foam up. The last step in the process is to put the bung in the bunghole.
So plug up the bunghole is what you're asking me to do here. And this is a bunghole plugger?
That's a bunghole plugger. It's called a bung.
This is called the bung?
This is called a fermentation bung.
Right.
And its design is that it allows gas to escape. So when the pressure builds up, the little top pops up, gas escapes while the wine's fermenting. Once the fermentation's finished, we go to a solid bung.
Thanks to this device, gas can come flying out of the bunghole.
That's...
The wine in the barrels is sampled periodically to make sure it's fermenting the way it should. And how can they tell? Well, they test it in the lab.
Holy smokes! This is a lab, for real.
Lab.
Who's that?
That's Kathy. She's our oenologist.
Hey there, how's it going?
Great.
You got a little dirty.
Yeah, I'm filthy, and I smell like a grape. It's just like mad scientist stuff. I had no idea. I just figured you were back, you know, tasting wines and making decisions. But this is all... What's happening here, Kathy?
I'm setting up an acid trial for Sean to taste. This is the wine just as it is. We're going to set up an increment.
What'd you just do?
I just added some tartaric acid.
Tartaric acid?
Right. So we're going to let him taste this and see if he likes it better. Why don't you give this one 2 shots?
This is a tartaric acid... That's dispenser?
It is today. It's a pipette. It helps us to dispense measured amounts. So if you want to push down that
right here
knob, do it twice.
Twice?
Yeah.
Well, what is tartaric acid?
Tartaric acid is actually grape acid. So it's the acid that naturally occurs in grapes.
I'm not a connoisseur, but if I were in a restaurant, I might send it back.
Try the next one, see if it's any better.
You know what? I'm just going right out of the beaker. This is not proper lab
procedure. I wouldn't do it, but...
Ah. I like that a little better. This I like a little better than that.
Okay.
This tastes a lot like that.
There's a subtle difference.
I still like number 2. Let me just remind myself how bad number 1 was. It's dreadful. I like this one.
Like that one?
Yeah, what do you think?
That's good. I would probably go with that one.
Well, I was going to go with that one. I love what you guys are doing here. I don't understand much of it at all, but I'd like to propose a toast.
Cheers.
Thank you very much. To the old, to the new, to the dirty, to the beaker.
Cheers.
That's dreadful. Well, just like that, another harvest season goes into the books. And after all the clipping and cutting and sorting and separating, and toasting and tasting and testing, after all the dirt and a lot of waiting, we finally have something worth waiting for. Maryvale 2003 Starmont Merlot. You didn't really think the last image I was going to leave you with was of me drinking out of a beaker, did you?
Coming up.
A very sharp series of blades is going to pull all the corn toward those holes right there. There they are.
In a feedlot bin, an auger carries most of the corn to the truck.
Is what's in here used to be in there?
That's right.
But not all of it.
Dirty, monotonous, and time-consuming, Walt. I hope the cows appreciate it.
And later...
No. Toward the food. Well, I'm going to get one.
The last time I rounded up cows was bad. This is worse.
No horse, no fancy ATV.
You ever been right in the middle of things and not even know it? Well, that's where I am today. Welcome to Partridge, Kansas. I'm pretty much smack dab in the middle of Kansas, and for that matter, the middle of the United States. Since the 1870s, the Burling family have been in the midst of it all, farming, renting, and custom farming over 6,000 acres. Today, I get to help feed some cows. Haven't done that on a grain farm before.
These are grain silos. They're made out of steel. Sometimes they're full of wheat. Sometimes they're full of corn. This is Walt. He's also made out of steel, but I'm not sure what he's full of. How are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you. Walt's a farmer. He gave me the shirt. He gave me the hat. Now I think he's going to give me the business. What are we going to do today?
Well, first of all, we're going to go ahead and clean this bin full of corn.
Yeah.
And we got to get it cleaned up so we can fill her full of wheat when the wheat harvest comes.
So it's basically a cow farm, right?
Well, it's mostly grain farm, but there's quite a few cows here as well.
Gotcha. All right, this is obviously what the cows eat inside. You realize, it's basically winter here. You know that, right?
Well, the calendar still says that we're in fall.
Yeah.
We're getting close.
Yeah. We got no sleeves. Is this a thing for you?
Well, this is dress code.
Which one am I going in?
Right here.
Right here.
Well, we've got her set up ready to go.
Is there a particular method to just hop in, basically?
Hop in.
And this is corn that I see in here, or the remnants of it. Hello. Nice in here.
Well, you familiar with this?
Yeah, it rings a bell. There's one in here already.
One for each hand. And this?
Yeah. So, where's it go?
Oh, right down the middle. There's a hole right underneath that auger.
Oh. So, Walt, this auger then pulls it all toward the holes I can't see.
That is correct.
I just got to see it on. Go ahead, fire it up. A very sharp series of blades is going to pull all the corn toward those holes right there. There they are. You're doing a good job, Mike. That's nice of you to say. I guess you realize there were two shovels.
Ah!
You might not have corn and steak in the same meal, but putting corn in the feed troughs for cattle is what puts meat and dairy products on your table.
How much will this hold when it's full?
10,000 bushels.
10,000 bushels. How much is a bushel exactly?
56 pounds on corn or 60 pounds on wheat.
Basically, 56 times 10,000 would be, well, it's a lot. How much is left in here now? This can't be more than what, 1,000 bushels?
400 bushels.
400. How do you know that?
I just know.
This 11-ton pile of corn exits the silo from the floor, runs through a maze of connected pipes, and ends up in the truck. Once in the truck, it'll head over to the mill for grinding, and then it'll be fed to the cows.
So you've been doing this for how long now?
All my life.
And how long's that been?
Well, I'm 33.
So if I do this for 33 years, my arm's going to be as big as yours?
Don't underestimate the size of Walt's arms. Sweeping up 11 tons of corn feed is hard work. Luckily, this bin only needs cleaning twice a year.
Is this the kind of corn that we eat?
No, this is field corn. This is for cattle consumption only, or livestock consumption.
Could people eat it?
You can.
Not good?
Not bad.
Not good.
Not bad. fans on the outside, the fans that come in, shoots air up through the hole and keeps the grain in good condition all year long.
So one of the things that keeps the grain from rotting is enough air?
Absolutely.
See here from the outside, I just thought you had a steel circle. In fact, it's it's a steel circle, but there's a little more to it. So we got to get every kernel?
Most you can.
I'm hoping. I'm really, really hoping that he's going to turn that auger off and not sweat the small stuff. Look at this. Everywhere I go, little tiny silhouetted figures in trouble. This one falling through the flowing grain. This one breaking through the crusted grain. Walt could have warned me about that.
Now that the corn's on its way to the mill, I'm confronted with yet another pit.
Out of the frying pan, into the fire?
Yes, sir.
Out of the bin, into the pit. What exactly is in the pit?
Well, everything that... All the filings and all the grain that the lug can't pick up is all sitting in the bottom of the boot pit. We got to pull the slides out and clean it out. Otherwise, it'll rust out the bottom. We got to replace the boot.
Oh, the boot pit.
The boot pit.
I thought you said the poop pit.
No, the boot pit. Here's your tools of the trade for now.
Crescent wrenches.
Head down and we'll pull them apart.
Is what's in here used to be in there?
That's right. Just a little bit of it right in the very bottom.
This is a big grain elevator. Little buckets scoop up the grain and carry it to the top. From there, the grain is distributed into one of Walt's seven silos.
Good. Good, boot pit. Where's the action?
You're right beside it.
That's a business.
Dirty cobwebs.
Yeah, some of the dirtiest cobwebs I've seen.
Here. You pull each one of these two bolts off.
These two guys here?
And then it's a surprise.
What is this?
That handy unit.
Right.
In order to keep the mill running smoothly, this place has to be cleaned out regularly.
And this is all part of feeding the cows.
Well, this is maintenance and making sure everything runs good.
It's grain.
There's wheat, there's soybeans, and there's your little corn.
Little corn and a couple of dead bugs or two.
Yeah, a couple.
Maybe a few dead bugs, but not everything in this hole is dead.
You want to trade places here?
Uh-oh, mouse.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there's all kinds of them around here.
I think we need these. This pops straight back. Same way the other
straight down.
Of course it does.
That does simplify it.
Down here, moisture is unavoidable. It leads to problems. Who knows? You might see me back down here again, replacing the rusted floor of a boot pit because I didn't get out all the grain.
It's dirty.
Yeah.
Ben Franklin called. He wants his dust broom back. State-of-the-art technology coming into play here.
Yeah.
Dirty, monotonous, and time-consuming. Well,
yep.
I hope the cows appreciate it. At least we can do, I guess. Seeing as we're going to eat them.
Somebody here.
After cleaning up the bottom of the boot pit, it was time to take the buckets of spilled grain, along with my lungs, to the trash. Coming up.
They'll be fine. We're just going to take them right along that fence. Best case scenario.
Have you seen this show?
When it comes to me and livestock, best case scenario is no scenario at all.
I don't think they're hungry.
They're hungry. Look at me.
I can't hear you when you talk that high. Try it again. What is this?
That's the hay buster hay grinder. We grind an awful lot of hay with that.
The hay buster?
We put big round bales in there, and no time flat, they turn into just chopped up hay like that. We use that for ingredients for cattle.
Are they eating dust or are they eating hay?
Actually, what that dust is, a lot of it, is the goody in the alfalfa. That's the protein.
Sounded like you just said
dirt and dust were tasty and desirable.
It is in the alfalfa.
Well, see, this is why we get along so well.
We just got a semi-load in yesterday. We need to get all those ground.
Now, if I were guessing, I'd say you're going to take this big claw-like device and pick them up one at a time and drop them in this hopper.
You got that right.
All this hay and other piles of grain are grown here on Walt's farm.
What I get for watching.
Inside the hay buster are 64 hydraulically driven hammers, which pulverize grain and hay that are put into the tub. Once finally ground, the grain moves up a conveyor belt and ends up in a big pot.
They don't have awards for world's dirtiest cameraman, but if they did, he'd be right over in that general area. Is it dirty enough for you?
Once the dust settles, we'll be able to start mixing the cow's food.
That's alfalfa grass hay. As you can see, he's going to put it right in the back of his big Roto-Mix truck here. He's also going to get some corn silage. That's the big mound of stuff behind him. Then he's going to get some hooch. Hooch is this red stuff over here. And then we're going to get some rolled corn out of the out of the bin that we were cleaning before. It's liable to get dirty.
Have as many cows to feed as Walt does every day, a big tractor comes in handy. Especially when you're measuring by the ton.
Okay, we're almost loaded. All we need now is the rolled corn. This is the stuff that we cleaned out earlier.
These calves are eating right about 30 pounds per head per day. Is what we're trying to get them to eat.
You're not just in the cow business, you're in the food business.
That's right. Very good, Mike. There you go. Now that let go of it.
How am I doing? 77, 70?
Feeding 200 cows in one pen is exhausting. Walt has 12 more pens to go. He does this every day.
It smells good enough to eat. I can't believe how fast the sun sets out here. Well, what else do we have to do today with the cows that we can get busy on now?
We got to sort the big end of the heifers off.
Let's go sort some heifers.
Let's go sort them.
Now, how the heifers going to take us? When we get one, two, we got a couple cameras here, a couple guys.
They'll be fine. We're just going to take them right along that fence. They're going to go right out that gate. No problems. Best case scenario.
Have you seen this show?
That's why I said best case scenario.
I haven't had a best case scenario in some time.
So what we're going to do is bring all these heifers, put them in this small pen over here. Then we're going to bring this big, large group of steers and heifers into the lane, and we're going to sort them. But we need this pen empty first, so let's get these heifers in the little pen. Just walk in amongst them slow.
All right.
We're going to take them right along that lane.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
I'm what you call a natural with the heifers. Uh-oh. Ran right over the bin. I walk with my arms like this. Makes me feel larger.
There they go.
There they go. Nothing to it.
Stop there. Nope, nope, stop. Nope, you want them to go that way. Then the fun starts. Yeah, that's the easy sort.
Now what do we do?
Now that we need to get all of those cattle in that lane, I'm going to drive the feed truck in. Best case scenario, they're going to follow me out, and you're going to go behind with some encouragement.
Whooping and hollering and waving the hat.
Well, encouragement, ever how it comes.
I mean, at this point, you're like the Pied Piper, right? I mean, they're hungry.
Yeah.
The odds are good they're going to follow the truck.
Yeah.
And the truck is going to go, you're going to take it to the end of this lane, and they're all going to crowd in here.
Yep.
When the last one's out, I should shut this gate?
Absolutely. Yeah.
See you on the other side.
Okay.
coming up.
This is your sorting stick. It's a persuader. Just like we did out here. It was a gentle persuasion.
I see.
Sorting the steers from the heifers requires a little persuasion.
Walt, they're doing untold damage to the persuader. There's three different types of fluids on there alone. Hope you kept the receipt for this thing.
Truck goes out. Cows follow the truck. It's no problem. It's dinner. This way. The food's in the truck.
Walt has 1,900 head of cattle on his farm.
No. Toward the food.
And they eat 300 tons of corn, hay, and other grains every year.
What I think is happening here is that there's a cameraman, like that guy. And Troy is scaring the cows, thereby injecting a whole new degree of difficulty. They're running complete opposite direction.
Go.
There you go.
I know you want that thing.
Yeah.
Go.
No. You guys want to eat? Food's over there. I'm here to encourage you. Yeah.
It ain't working. It ain't working at all. These animals are like...
not like cattle.
Mike!
What?
Mike!
What?
What's wrong? It was an easy job of encouragement.
All right. Help. I mean... I don't think they're hungry, first of all.
Well, look at all of them. They're hungry. Look at them eat.
I can't hear you when you talk that high. Try it again. You think maybe you guys could help? We'll all go down together and then form a wall of humanity.
There you go.
A wall of humanity. And I guess we'll kind of come straight in at them?
Yep. Keep them along that far side, because that's where the gate is.
That side.
Yep.
No. No doubling back. I know your tricks. Come on. Not you. There's always one. Now remove. No horse. No fancy ATV.
Watch out. You're walking out of bomb.
Just as I thought it was working out.
You guys, go get those.
God.
Keep coming, Mike. Keep coming.
Stupid job.
Now, here's our last two.
All right.
Watch out.
They'll never come out with us standing here.
Watch back, guys.
No. Okay.
God. Keep coming, guys. Keep on them. All you cameramen, move out. Hup. Get back. Get in front of it.
Look, we got 90% of them. We got 1, 2, 3, 4 calves in there. 4 cows, whatever the hell. Steers. 4 guys.
All right, leave them. This is your sorting stick. It's a persuader. Just like we did out here. It was a gentle persuasion.
I see.
Remember, buy is a big heifer.
Buy is a big heifer.
In is everything else.
In is everything else.
If you see a steer, that's going to be in. This would be a small heifer.
Small heifer, that goes in.
In.
That's a big heifer.
Yep.
That's a buy. All right.
Bye.
So all we got to do is get them down to your guys.
That is right. And they the rest of work. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's a jumper.
Yeah, she is.
Very good.
That's a buy. That's a steer.
It's a steer. Very good.
That's a buy. That's a steer. She's a bye.
Yell bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go.
This is a very confusing moment up here. We're at the critical flashpoint. We'll let Irv sort them out.
We got good people up the lane.
Good. You got a moron here with a lightsaber. Hey, yo, I'm persuading you. Come on. Nope. Ho. Tough to say.
Where's your persuasion?
Let's screw.
screw fell out of my handle? What's holding this thing together? Bad boy peed on my persuader. Hey. Hey, I want my stick back.
Hey, don't let him go.
Ow.
Walt, they're doing untold damage to the persuader. It's being violated in all sorts of... Oh, there's three different types of fluids on there alone.
What'd they think about your persuader, Mike?
This is what I think about your shirt. I'll just reach through the urine and the poo to get my... Well, what's the point? Uh-oh.
Whoop.
My persuader, man. Hope you kept the receipt for this thing.
Here's your handle back.
Thanks. Well, I'm not going to lie to you, Walt. The sun's setting, and I'm kind of relieved because this means we have to leave. And no offense, but I mean, I'm just happy to leave under my own power. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
All right. You mix the grain, but you separate the cows. This is ironic juxtaposition.
Absolutely.
And a fine way to end the day. I got my persuader back.
You can have that as a souvenir.
You're a giver.
Thanks.
We'll take one of these, too, if that's all right.
Okay.
One of this big heifer.
Here on Dirty Jobs, we're constantly on the lookout for places best described as vile, disgusting, gross, wretched, foul, fetid, humid, foggy, and filthy. If you know of a place that fits that description, drop me a line at discovery.com/dirty jobs. Do it right now. You'll have my eternal, filthy gratitude. Much obliged.
You're a nice fella.
Thanks.
And a dirty guy.
Thank you, Dave.
Call me Mike.
Yeah.
These wires help us position the canopy and help us localize the fruit zone.
Did you just say localize the fruit zone?
I think I did.
Management.
Aren't I on the Discovery Channel?
We'll see. Oh, I almost threw my shoulder out making fun of Doug. Damn it.